I have just all week long just been blown away that it's already been 6 weeks since we've started this study. 6 weeks ago, lesson one of living what we say we believe about being the aroma in our communities. And ever since then, I've used different analogies, different things to encourage us to live out the things that we say we believe. Sometimes those things can be really difficult to live out. I read something yesterday that really caught my attention because it goes so well with what we've been talking about these past few weeks. And that is how difficult it is living in our society. Because our society, though we don't think of it in these terms, our society really builds up barriers between us and God. It almost insulates us away from those things that are of a spiritual nature that have spiritual value. And we become so accustomed to that insulation, even though we claim Christ and we follow Christ and we come here weekly, sometimes it's not as tangible, it's not as real as what we want it to be. So this morning, I want to encourage us all. I hope that my words are encouraging as we look at this final lesson in living what we say we believe. In your church, Lord, you be glorified. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it is to be called a Christian. Blessing it is to call our Lord and Savior and call on Him and know that He hears us and responds to us, Father. That You hear us and that You love us and forgive us with the blood. Father, this morning as I encourage us all to be active and be part of the family of God, I pray things that are on my heart would come through and in a way that will encourage and help and lift up. Father, I just pray that Your blessings be with us today as we gather here in the name of Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Many years ago, I don't remember when it was, but Charles Schulz put out this particular Peanuts cartoon that has stuck with me all these years. It was Lucy enters the room and Linus is watching TV. Of course, Linus is her brother. And she walks in the room and Linus is watching TV and she said, change the TV channel. And he said, what makes you think you can walk in here and just tell me to change the TV channel? He says, this right here. She said, individually, this is much of anything. But you curl these things up and it becomes something that is terrible to behold. Linus kind of scared him a little bit. He walked over and said, what channel do you want? And then he turns away and he looks at his own hand. He says, why can't you guys get organized like that? That's the power of teamwork. And in all the New Testament letters that we have, if you were to make a comparison of them, Paul's letter to the Ephesians most aggressively describes the function of the church in God's grand scheme. This powerful little six-chapter letter exalts Jesus as the one through whom God has brought all of this plan together. It also speaks of God's mission for the church. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, Paul wrote this. His intention was that now, listen to this, now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. According to this passage, the church demonstrates God's wisdom to a heavenly audience. But in its immediate context, the verse is probably referring to God bringing together people of diverse backgrounds. Jews and Gentiles, bringing them together, even though for so long they had been so far apart. And today He continues to do that. He takes peoples from diverse backgrounds, diverse cultures, diverse languages, diverse nationalities, and He still brings them together into one massive single body. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, that the Father redeemed us by Christ's blood, forgave our sins, and opened the floodgates of grace. honestly, I don't know of any better news I could share with you this morning other than in Christ, you are redeemed. That's good stuff, isn't it? I mean, does it get any better than that? In Christ, you are redeemed. What would you think if I told you that the church plays a tremendous part, more than what we usually give it credit for anyway, it plays a tremendous part in making known God's wisdom and God's understanding to the world? Try to think of the church in terms of the opportunities it gives multi-talented members to function in a cooperative effort for the glory of God. People with different perspectives, different gifts, different interests are united in Christ to make known the fullness of God's wisdom, compassion, and activity among human beings. Wouldn't we all agree that we believe that the church is Christ's body, in which the different parts contribute to the health and function of the whole? And in saying that we believe that, we would cite the New Testament metaphor of the church functioning as a body. You know, there's the eye, there's the hand, there's the foot, along with the other diverse parts, working together for the sake of the whole. And when this works, this diversity working together for a common cause, it brings glory not to us. It brings glory to the Father who designed it. If this is true, then every local body of believers needs the loyal support, commitment, and participation of its membership. Every member has a necessary role, not the same role, but a role, some role in God's purpose to make Himself known through that body. Each one of us is responsible for the health, the growth, the efficient exertion of energy in that body, in that church. The challenge is living what we say we believe. For instance, take an orchestra. Having a skilled conductor, it really is pointless unless you can have the people who can play the instruments. In an orchestra, there needs to be horns, there needs to be violins, there needs to be cymbals, there needs to be kettle drums. Some need to be really loud, some need to be really soft. The larger the orchestra, the greater variety of instruments, the wider range of music that can be played. There will be more fullness, there will be more quality to each and every note. And when they are really good, people will come from a long way to come and hear them. It's not so different in sports. No matter how good the coach, they're limited by the giftedness of their players. Take basketball, for instance. I used to coach basketball. You need a skilled ball handler, but you also need someone who can rebound. You need shooters, but you also need a deep bench. Some players make their best contribution by just going to the free throw line or setting picks. You see, it is a team sport. But orchestras and athletics, they really don't differ much from the business world. A well-trained, enthusiastic sales force needs a product to sell. You put a good product or a great product in the hands of a great sales team, back them with people who can fill orders, pack products, ship on time, you have a winning combination. One person doesn't make a company. One person doesn't make a basketball team. One person cannot comprise an orchestra. And one person cannot be the church. Nor do we need 10 or 15% of a church's membership doing while 85 to 90% observe. The orchestra needs a cellist. The team needs a point guard. The company needs a salesman. And the church needs every member using the ability God gave them for the sake of the whole. Tyler read it for us just a minute ago. But that's exactly what Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 12. He read it, but I'm going to read it again, okay? Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans. just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't have all the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. What is Paul telling us? He's saying, I have a place, a gift, and function in this church, and so do you. And the multifaceted wisdom of God is vindicated. It's proven true when we function together for the sake of the whole. Okay, so let's talk less about orchestras and sales and athletics. Let's think of the church in terms of God's family. In every biological family, there are different roles. There's husband and wife. There's parents and child. And all of these are routine chores. And there's also the occasional opportunities. And it's the same thing in God's family. Yes, there are the day-to-day operations, but there's also those moments where God will lay something, just lay it right out before us. And He expects us to do something. So maybe you've not found your niche. Even so, you've got to know, please hear me, you are every bit as loved as anyone else in this family of God. But we're not all equipped with the same personalities. We're not all equipped with the same gifts, the same abilities, the same passions. Because of that dynamic, we do not have equal responsibility to every ministry. That's why it is so vitally important for our efficiency as a church family and your satisfaction as a member of that family to know your spiritual gift and how to use it. A few years ago, there was a study of 350,000 Americans. That, if you read studies, that's a very, very large study. Its participants are usually much less than that. 350,000 Americans. And what the study showed was that 4 out of 5 people do not match their abilities in their work. Perhaps you're sitting there thinking, yes, and I'm looking at one of them right now. The study suggests that the four most commonly used guidelines for hiring, I've got them listed on the screen, youth, education, experience, and gender. That's what employers who are interviewing, so many of them use those as their guidelines, but the study shows that those have really very little value to show how an applicant is going to do in that particular position. What makes a person either fit or unfit for certain jobs are built-in aptitudes toward those types of work. It reminds me of a movie. Diane and I used to watch this movie repeatedly. This is going to date me a little bit, but it was a Sandra Bullock movie called While You Were Sleeping. Anyone seen While You Were Sleeping? Good movie, right? Jack did not want to run the family business. He wanted to be a furniture builder. And he was very good at it. He was happy when he was building furniture. He was miserable trying to do something that he wasn't meant to do. And of course, the end of the movie, he figures that out and he does what he wants to do. Does it surprise you that the same thing is true for being effective in the things of the Lord? There are absolutely some gender and experience requirements for things like being an overseer of the church. But the primary emphasis in kingdom ministry is on qualities that go much further than age and gender and education. God wants His people to use their unique talents that are built within their personalities. God wants us to honor the special gifts He gave us so that we can be kingdom builders. See, we function best and we will accomplish the most for the Lord when we do what we've been designed to do. And we invite frustration, we invite division, we invite hurt feelings when we're plugged in or doing something that we're just not meant to do. When the church was established 2,000 years ago, God chose to distribute a series of supernatural, miraculous gifts among His people. These special gifts enabled the church to just hit the ground running. I mean, we've studied these things in the book of Acts that we're concluding this Wednesday night. Preachers could speak in languages they'd never studied before. Others could work miracles of healing as a sign to unbelievers or those who had never heard the gospel before. They could see these things done and they would believe. Still others were given gifts of supernatural discernment, that is, judgment. Now, I know there's a lot of people in the world today that still believe in these supernatural gifts, these charismatic movement. I happen not to subscribe to that movement. But I know that there are a lot that do, but regardless of whether you do or not, clearly there were other special non-miraculous gifts from God, from the Holy Spirit, that would be needed across time. They're necessary for the teaching of the Word of God to believers and for nurturing the church. Paul, in several of his letters, lists gifts of the Spirit. I happen to believe that 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians chapter 4 are those of the miraculous nature. However, this passage that Tyler and I both read this morning from Romans 12, I believe is of the more ordinary, those things that are passed down even to us still today. What I'd like to do is take a little bit closer look at these gifts that Paul mentions in Romans 12, just to get a better idea of what is Paul talking about, and do you have one of these gifts? Among the gifts mentioned in Romans 12, the most common, the most needed gifts are those that consist of glad and eager mercy and useful service to people around you. These kind of ministries don't necessarily occur in the assembly. It happens when a mentor spends time with a teenager, when a teacher gets that connection with a student, when words of encouragement can be offered to someone who is discouraged. It happens when those who can work on cars or plumbing or whatever else does that for someone who can't. It happens when a yard is mowed for someone who can't do it themselves. It happens when you maybe give a gift certificate to your Sunday school teacher. It happens when you allow people in your spiritual family to share their hurts, their frustrations, and you pray with them. You see, these things are so desperately needed, and so many of you are equipped for just such a thing. So I want to encourage you this morning, use your gift. The second thing, closely related to the first, is the gift of generous giving. You know, some of the most generous givers in any church are unknown to the mass populace. They don't call attention to themselves. They simply are trying to see to the needs of the larger body by their gift of wealth. They acknowledge this came by God. Yet generosity isn't measured simply by the amount of the gift, but also by the heart of the one giving it. I invite you to go back and read the accounts of the early church, the first century church, and see their hearts, read about their hearts, read about their activity when it comes to being givers. And I promise you, you will come away with the idea that they understood the importance of the gift of generous giving. And if you have this gift and you've not been using this gift, please use it, because I want you to receive blessing for that. The third one. Prophesying and teaching. Special gifts of the Holy Spirit. prophecy. It's the ability to speak God's word to the moment. It's the gift of having the right thing to say at difficult times. It's as if God shines light into your corner when you approach complex situations. Now, teaching isn't exactly the same thing, but they are related. Teaching is the more common gift of being able to take people into the Bible in a clear, systematic way. It's the gift of being able to make biblical things come alive and understandable to people who really want to see a clearer picture of God. Paul also mentions leadership. This is a gift that just few people possess. It's the ability to inspire the rest of us. The ability to visualize future possibilities, make big dreams come true, to work under pressure and to generate results. Spiritual leaders have a passionate concern for what is right and what honors the Lord. You see, the church is a family of God. And the call of God in each of our lives is to fill a role in the family. I can't do your part. And I don't expect you, and you are not responsible for doing mine. But together, if we each do the part that we were designed for, if we each use our gifts and come together, God will make this body function and function well. A man called a church one time, spoke to one of the ministers. He called to inquire about membership at the church. He was kind of looking around, and he said, "Well, let me tell you," he said, I just moved to town. I'm looking for a church, but let me tell you up front, I really can't get very involved. You know, but I think for my spiritual well-being, it's good for me to at least have a place to go." The minister said, "Well, I'll tell you what," he said, my congregation is probably not going to be the best fit for you." He said, "Here's another church that I would recommend that you go visit." So the guy asked for a telephone number, but the preacher just gave him an address. So Sunday morning came around, the guy pulled up into the parking lot of this church. It was an old, dilapidated building. Windows broken, vines growing through it, roof caved in, you know, just doors hanging off the hinges. It just was not in, well, it wasn't even being used at the time. Well, the guy thought the best case scenario, the preacher must have given me the wrong address. So Sunday morning he called him and said, "Listen, I went to the wrong place." Preacher said, "Oh, no, you went to the right place. That's what happens when the churches are filled with people who don't want to get involved. People who don't want to be committed." You see, this morning, I'm hoping that perhaps some of us, any of us, may have realized that our gifts, the things that God has blessed us with, the talents that God has provided us with, maybe we've not been using them. And perhaps this morning, you'd like to make that public. "I've got more things I can do. God has gifted me in this way, and I've just not been doing it. I want to be a kingdom builder. I want to, in fact, live what I say I believe." Because family, if we don't, it's not tomorrow, it's not the next day, but eventually, as people more and more start withdrawing and all we're going to have is attendance and we don't have anyone doing anything, down the road, what happened with that church in the story will happen with this one and every other church in God's kingdom. We've got to be people who will live what we say we believe. This morning, if you need to respond for this or any other reason, the Lord stands waiting with His arms wide open to receive you. Shane's going to lead us in a song. If you need to respond, make your way to the front as we stand and sing.